friend? What's imaginary?
Hello and welcome to episode 127 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff and here are my co-hosts, Krista Puchko and Angie Han.
Hey everybody.
Hi.
So we've got a special episode for you today. It's one filled with cute animals, kind of. Does dragons count? Yeah, okay, cute pet-like creatures. There we go. So first up, we're going to review the new wide release this weekend, Pete's Dragon, and then we are going to visit one that came out last weekend that we have really wanted to talk about ever since we saw the first trailer for the movie, and that is Nine Lives. So before we get to Nine Lives and its glorious weirdness, let's do Pete's Dragon. Christy, you are on that one.
Yeah, so Pete's Dragon. Here's the plot synopsis. The adventures of an orphan boy named Pete and his best friend Elliot, who just happens to be a dragon. This movie is adorable. It's a remake of the 67 animated movie or 76 or whatever. Well, like animated live action. It was like the people were live action. The dragon was a green cartoon with purple hair.
That's still the case with this one. I mean, the dragon is not live action. Spoiler alert. It is still it's CG animated, so it looks more realistic.
PETA's really pissed about it. They took the bare bones of that plot, which was a orphan boy and the dragon that loves him. And then there's like a matriarch character who could like set things right if only Pete gives her the chance. And then there's some jerks that are just jerks and want Elliot for their own nefarious purposes. But they like switched it up with like the specifics, and it actually is really fun because they set it in this kind of timeless / slightly old-timey place where like maybe it's set today, but it's set in a today where not everyone is carrying around cell phones. And it's just this really charming story about the small town of Millhaven, who has this myth of the Millhaven dragon. And then one day a park ranger finds a little boy in the woods who looks like Mowgli, but white. And it begins this whole adventure where they meet Elliot and Pete. And I actually thought this was incredibly charming. And the rare kids movie that doesn't attempt to be anything more than a kids movie. There are not like a lot of sophisticated themes. There are no pop culture references. There are no attempts to take really dark content and make it like something that kids can understand, aside from like death and loss. But that's kind of a standard thing in kids movies, honestly. I thought this was incredibly charming.
I would say that even though it's not trying to be anything too much more than a kids movie, it's also a kids movie that isn't afraid to make kids a little sad or scared. Like, I feel like a lot of movies that are aimed at children kind of try to steer away from any possible negative emotions, and this doesn't do that. Like, when the dragon gets into trouble at one point, it's genuinely pretty upsetting. But I feel like I feel like it's been getting great reviews, and part of it is because it just feels so. It feels like something that we saw when we were kids. It's a new movie, and I'm not even talking about like, oh, it feels like the old movie. It just feels like a movie that's always existed, is always going to exist. There's always going to be room in this world for just like really heartfelt, sweet, really well-crafted stories about, you know, little boys and little lost little boys and their pet dragons. By the way, that is like a weird theme this year. Like, we've had like little lost little children and like giant creatures that they befriend. Like the beginning
with
of
the BFG
like Jungle Book.
And Jungle Book and
yeah, there's BFG, there's a Monster Calls coming up later this year. Yeah, like
oh, a Good Dinosaur from last year.
This one did feel a lot like Good Dinosaur. But yeah, I thought it was really cute. I thought it was really well done. The dragon is furry, which is not something I've seen before, and which I thought was it's a good choice because it does make him feel like he's like a cat or a dog, only gigantic.
He feels like a big dog to me. Like, he does stuff with his ears and he like chases his own tail at one point. He felt like a giant like golden retriever or something.
All right. I'm just biased because I have a cat that's like.
But I also don't watch cats all day, so I you know, we'll get to that later.
You don't understand.
That's right. No, I was not on a cat podcast last week.
Yeah. The fur cast. Seriously, check it out if you like cats. I was not that into this movie, surprisingly, because
I know what
you guys
is he too
know
big
me.
For you? Are you a sizes?
I love no.
And I
didn't care
so
that the
dirty.
Dragon was furry either. The movie just kind of didn't do it for me, you know what I mean? Like, there was nothing wrong with it per se. There was something about it that I wasn't as engaged and connected, and I was a little upset in the end, the way they treated the dragon. I had a little
okay, we
bit
need
of
to
a,
have a talk about
I had a little bit of a hard time looking at certain things in the end, but you know, overall, I think it was perfectly fine. I think everyone did exactly what they needed to do. It was shot well enough. I found it a little slow. I definitely thought it felt a little longer than what it actually was, but there was just like something about, you know, the movie and how I connected to it where something was missing and I didn't care as much as I thought I would.
I want to ask you guys a question. So every critic seems to love this movie and they're all like, it's such a wonderful kids movie. It reminds me of the kids movies of my youth and whatever. But do you think that this is a kids movie that adults are going to like more than children?
No, I think kids will like this a lot because I enjoyed it as an adult, but I never need to watch this again. I think little kids will love this to pieces because one, it gives you that vicarious adventure of, it starts off with Pete being told he's a brave little boy and that he is going to go on an adventure and then he gets to live that adventure. And I think kids will really relate to that desire. And I think kids will really wish that they had an Elliot. And I have to say, I love Carl Urban and this is the bad guy because he's a bad guy, but he's not like a bad, bad guy. He's just kind of a
pretty
jerk.
Fucking bad guy. Are you shitting me?
Yeah, he uses tranquilizer darts, though. Like, he doesn't kill Elliot. He tranks him. So, like, that's something.
He was pretty bad.
He, like, tries to strangle
I forgot I was talking to two, like, Elliot. Hardcore. He's a jerk. He is a jerk. I just don't think, he's not, like, evil. He's just
if I was going to pick on one performance in this movie that I didn't love, and again, it's not terrible, I just didn't love it, was Bryce Dallas Howard. Because, yes, it's a kid's movie. It embraces the fact that it's a kid's movie, and it sticks to it hardcore. She was kind of hamming it up a little. It up much more so than anybody else in the cast was. Stuck
out. Carl Urban has a part where he goes, it's a dragon! Like, that's like a thing that happens.
There are definitely a couple of those types of lines throughout the whole movie. But
yeah.
For him, it felt right to me because he was the villain and he was in those situations where he was running around and interacting with the dragon a little more towards the beginning. Whereas, you know, she was kind of just like, oh, it's a kids movie, you know, like putting on that kind of show, like talking down to the kids, you know what I mean?
She interacts with children a lot in this movie and she talks the way I think adults tend to talk to children, so I didn't think it was weird. Like, yeah. When she talks to other adults, she sounds like...
How would you know? You only have Roger.
Wow. You got real up in here.
That's... I say it and I really mean it because that's how I talk to Dewey, you know? Like, I talk... Now it sounds like I'm disrespectful to my cat, but it's like...
Why do you condescend to your cat, Perry?
It felt to me like... When she spoke to Pete, she was talking down to him. Like,
okay,
not like he was the pet.
To be
but
fair, he's a wild child that doesn't understand simple concepts.
Yeah, he's like a feral child. Like, I don't think it's that weird that she's not speaking to him like he's like a sophisticated adult human.
I guess, but
level.
when you compare the way that she was doing it to me to the way that Robert Redford was interacting with the children, his performance seemed a little more genuine to me.
Okay. I think that the movie also kind of sets up that Robert Redford is like really good with kids, his character.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So I want to talk about Carl Urban, guys, because Chrissy thinks he's just a swell fella and he is so fucking not. Can we go into spoilers for a couple minutes?
Sure.
Let's just wrap this
up. Wow, I didn't think we'd need a spoiler section for Pete's Dragon.
No, we need a fucking
spoiler section for Pete's Dragon. But yeah, go ahead. Spoilers for Pete's Dragon. Fuck it. Go.
Yeah. Okay. So if you guys remember our Godzilla podcast, where
I know where this is going,
and was like, they should have just let the people fucking die. These people are garbage, and they should have let the Mudos like thrive. That was Pete's Dragon all over at the end because I walked out being like, these humans do not deserve Elliot.
Yeah. And you walked out hardcore hating on humanity when we left this movie. Everyone else is like, what a wonderful movie. And Andrew's like, let me
Elliot
tell you something.
Should have killed them, but I mean,
you
he
called
had
an 11-year-old
no
a
obligation
bitch.
To save humanity
real.
At risk to himself. Because these
I can't believe how evil we sound right now. I just yelled at Angie for only having a cat, and Angie's wishing that the townspeople burn and die.
I don't actively want them to die, but at the finale, is basically that. So, okay, here's the story.
You were Elliot hoping he went Cersei all over Millhaven. That was your goal.
Here's the story. Elliot and Pete are like so fine. They're like in the forest. They're super happy. Their life is like perfect. A bunch of people stick their noses where they don't fucking belong. They separate this little boy and this dragon. They just like rip apart this family for no goddamn reason. And then like they try to kill the dragon. And then like and then because they're trying to kill the dragon freaks out. And then so now the people are in danger. And then they're like, Elliot, you have to risk your own life to save these people that were trying to kill you half an hour ago. And he does it because he's so goddamn.
She's
nice.
Right. She is right, because they do say that even though Elliot, like Pete has spent 6 years in the woods just being cared for by Elliot, he is not malnourished. He's never suffered from exposure. He's actually fine. So like their whole cause for bringing him home is like a very like human-centric viewpoint that they're the only ones that can raise him right.
Yeah. Human-centric is right.
That yeah, Angie got really mad at the little girl Natalie in this because she's like, Pete, don't go back to Elliot because I'd miss you. And Angie's like, that bitch is being selfish.
I turned to Christy and I was like, bitch, no one cares what you want.
That is really what happened.
It's none of your goddamn business. You met this boy 5 minutes ago. I don't see why like that gives you the right to keep him from his only family member, which is Elliot, and his home, which is the forest. Boy.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
got so intense. Well, for what it's worth, to backtrack a little, I really enjoyed the child actor performances. I thought that the two of them were both fantastic, and they're kids that can
cute
be like
being part too cute.
They're like cute kid, but they don't have that cute kid syndrome where it's really annoying and over the top and obnoxious.
I feel like actually between this and Jungle Book, like it's been a pretty good pretty solid year for kid actors.
Yeah.
I will agree with that. All
so
right,
let's
so.
Wrap this. Would we recommend Pete's Dragon?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just saying, think about what I said.
Oh, God. I didn't love the movie. I found it a little slow, and I found some of the dragon brutality at the end a little upsetting. But overall, it is a fine movie. So
yeah.
It gets a passable grade from me.
If you got kids, they'll be loving this.
All right.
Speaking of so movies for small children.
Yeah, on to our next
one.
For
small children? We'll get to that.
Angie, I saw that. 9 Lives. Can you handle it?
I don't
the mic
know.
Still standing?
Angie's so excited she's knocking over her own equipment right now is what's happening.
We have just absolutely lost it this week.
9 Lives, a.k.a. the Kevin Spacey cat movie. A stuffy businessman finds... Sorry, I just looked at the synopsis. All right, a stuffy businessman finds
We have to leave this in now.
All this has to stay. Good.
Hold on. I can't even read the first three words again. Finds himself trapped.
A stuffy businessman finds himself trapped inside the body of his family's cat.
Score. So this is the cat movie that Harry and Angie have been talking about in anticipation for weeks. And then it came to the point where it was like they didn't have any press screenings. So we were torn about what to do. And Harry and Angie decided.
Oh, no, we weren't torn.
Okay. I said, well, there are no press screenings. Nerds to this. And you two got very upset. And then Angie concocted an entire plan where she convinced not only me but other of our New York friends to get drunk and then go watch 9 Lives like late on a Friday, which admittedly was the only way you should see 9 Lives.
Okay. Which is the exact opposite way I saw it, perfectly sober at 9:45 in the morning.
Okay, so here's the thing about 9 Lives. Christy just explained the circumstances under which we saw it. And I will say, this is not a good movie. This isn't one of those like, oh, it's a secret masterpiece. It's fucking not. It's garbage. But if you're like in the mood to get drunk and watch a movie where Kevin Spacey plays a fucking cat, it is like exactly as promised, guys.
It's so much more than promised, actually. Because, okay, so there's things in this movie that make no sense that made me wonder who this movie is fucking for. Because you think it's a kid's movie because it has a we say talking cat. It's not like he talks, but he has voiceover.
Well, he thinks. But actually, let's go around first. Before we dive too much into it, Perry, what did you think of the movie as someone who did not watch it under our very ideal circumstances?
I will echo what you said. This is not a good movie. But wow, did I have a lot of fun with this. You know, it's short and sweet. It moves pretty fast. Mm-hmm. I want to say a lot of the stuff that happened in this movie made me either laugh out loud or it spoke to me as a cat lover and made me go, aw, you know? So
same.
I want to say the large majority of things that they tried to do in this movie kind of worked on me. And freaking Christopher Walken as the Cat Whisperer.
I feel like this movie is, for better or for worse, exactly the movie. Like, this is exactly the movie that you set out to make. This isn't one of those, like, ambitious misfire things. Like, this isn't one of those, like, oh, I see
Barry what they're Sonnenfeld going for. Was like, I have a vision.
Yeah, they were like, we're going to make a movie that's like a 90s style, like, high concept comedy where Kevin Spacey's a cat, and that is what they made. And, yeah. Mission, it's a low bar, but they cleared it.
I mean, like, here's the thing. If you hear that Kevin Spacey gives the voice to a cat named Mr. Fuzzy Pants, and you think, I'm intrigued, this is a movie for you.
Yes, it is.
Though I recommend bringing a flask like we did. We snuck in flasks. That was helpful. But, like, what I did not expect is that a huge amount of this movie is about corporate intrigue, which seems weird for a kid's movie. I know they did it with Smurfs as well. I know that was a thing. I don't understand why they think, like, oh, that'll get the parents involved. Parents care about corporate espionage. But, like, basically, like, Kevin Spacey plays, like, a Trump figure who's, like, really into himself. And it's like, I'm going to build the world's tallest tower. And, like, no one, even though it's right there, no one makes a joke about what that means when a guy is super into, like, the length of his tower. Like, whatever.
But they are not above making other sex jokes, as we will discuss later on.
Yeah, that's the thing. So then there's these weird, there's, like, he's like a guy who has multiple wives, and we're supposed to hate his ex-wife.
You make him sound like he's like a polygamist. He has an ex-wife and then a current wife. Who's, right. His ex-wife is Cheryl Hines, and his current wife is Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, it's like weird because, like, I guess, I mean, I'm sure that's true to some people's experiences, but you're supposed to hate Cheryl Hines, even though she does come by a lot and seems to be, like, really invested in being part of the family, though she is snippy. But, like, we all have those family members. But it's like she's important because she has, like, an older son who looks like he should be the love interest for Jennifer Garner, who is supposed to be married to Kevin Spacey, which is probably the part of this movie that I had the hardest time wrapping my head around because just. What in what reality? And then, like, yeah, then there's, you've got Christopher Walken who keeps popping up, and not only is he a cat whisperer, he keeps calling himself a cat whisperer, and every time he says it, it just makes me feel crazier. And then there is, like, a suicide subplot.
Job, Christy, like, what is he supposed to call himself?
It's, I think it's the way, because he's like, I'm a cat whisperer, and you're like, what is happening? And then, like, they, oh god, and then so there's like a sex section where you think a character's gonna kill themselves, and I'm just like, and they really are charging hard at that. I'm like, we're in a kid's movie, right? And then, yeah, there's a freaking sex scene. Like, Angie, I'm gonna let you take that because I can't even.
Well, the sex, okay, so it is not a real sex scene. However,
no one actually, like, literally fucks the cat, but...
No, but it is shot in the cinematic language of a sex scene, and is very clear that it is, like, meant to be, like, the substitute for a sex scene in, like, a different kind of movie, you know?
Where so you see, like, the woman taking off her pantyhose.
Yeah, so Jennifer Garner is, like, you know, she's, like, she's lonely, she misses her husband because he's in a coma. We actually never find out if the cat is in the coma body, but, you know, that's a whole other... I don't know. The movie never explains it.
I think they suggest he is.
Anyway, no. So she's, like, very lonely, and she's sad, and, like, her husband is in a coma, and then she's, like, getting ready for bed, and it's about as sexy as you can make a PG movie, by which I mean, like, you know, through, like the doorway, you see, like, her extend her leg and, like, you know, slip off something, and then she, like, comes out in this, like, you know, like a satiny nightgown. And then she, like, looks at the cat and she's like, don't tell anyone. And she scoops him up and takes him to bed with her. And they don't fuck. They just sleep.
But they do fade to black.
In a way where you're like, hold up.
They, like, fade to black like you do in old movies where you're like, ellipsis.
And then you cut to the morning after where they're, like, still, like, cuddle up in bed.
Right. And it's like, that's clearly a joke for adults.
There was that. It was almost like they didn't know how to use things like that. Because I think I texted you another one, Christy, which this is even weirder. When the kid sleeps in bed with her and the mother gets out of the bed and gets back in and she puts her arm around the kid and goes, like, where did we leave off or something? Like, something that is so traditionally, like, a sex scene line. And I'm like, that feels out of place there.
I think it's funny because there were just parts of this movie where Angie was so excited. There's one part she literally stood up and threw her hands in the air like she had just...
Okay, to be fair, you heard about the flask part, guys, right? Yeah. Yeah. I was not myself.
By contrast, we sat way in the back so that our being jackassery would not, like, disturb other people, and I think we were fair on that. Also, like, we picked a theater where people get rowdy anyway, so I think that helped.
Also, it was 10 p.m. on a Friday.
Yeah, there were only, like, six
lives.
Other people there.
Who, and they I all was going to say, who else was,
like,
in that theater
parents
with you?
Parents who looked exhausted and then a child that looked like they didn't understand why they were there. My favorite, though, was halfway through the movie. I don't remember. I'm not sure I remember what was happening, but something in the movie is happening. And this little kid, like, halfway down the theater just went, I want to go home. I don't want to be here anymore. And I could not stop laughing. I was laughing so hard I couldn't actually tell if they left or not. But like it was just, I don't know if it was just that he was tired because it was like Friday at that point at like 10:30. But like that kid was just like, fuck this. I'm out. Table flip.
I like to think it's because the kid has more refined tastes and was just like, really? You took me to this?
We were going to see Hell or High Water.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what
the
I was.
The kids
like to
in my screening were loving it. I was sitting directly in front of what must have been like a 5-year-old boy. And the entire time he was doing the narrator thing or like the commentator thing, where every single time the cat went through something, he would turn to his mom and he'd be like, Ma, that's why we can't have a cat, right?
Because it might secretly be a businessman.
It might.
Well,
oh my God.
It was kind of like that when Kevin Spacey was in the cat and he was doing naughty cat things. The kid kept being like,
"Can I say something about
cats? Do that? We can't have one."
Can I say something about the concept of this movie? So at the end, can I spoil Nine Lives? I could spoil Nine Lives.
Yeah,
it's not that much of a spoiler.
Fuck it.
All right, so at the end of the movie,
are you guys
like,
still
you know,
drunk?
Kevin Spacey is like restored into being a human, but you know, so like throughout this movie, this who's the guy, the villain?
Kelly Ripa's husband.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark Consuela. He's a villain, yeah. And then like Christopher Walken has noticed that this man is a villain, and he gives him this look like where you know that now he's gonna put this man in a cat's body. And one of the things that drives this plot is that there's an actual danger, at least according to Christopher Walken, that Kevin Spacey might be a cat permanently. And like, and then you go back to like Christopher Walken's story, it's like full of cats, and you're just like, how many of those are people?
Yeah.
And then like, there's this like implication that he's like some kind of like weird vigilante superhero that like instead of like patrolling Gotham dressed as a bat, he just like looks for like businessmen who are like not nice to their families and turns them into cats. I just, you guys, that is best superhero movie ever.
We did reference Catwoman a lot. Like, I've never seen Angie quite as excited in a movie as she was in Nine Lives. Like,
you must have never seen me quite as drunk in a movie as I was during Nine
Lives. Yeah, if you're interested in this, you can look at our Twitter accounts from, like, 2 weeks ago, because there are photos, and Angie and I look excited, and everyone else just looks like they hate their lives. All nine.
Well, if we've already spoiled Nine Lives, I want to say another spoiler that I thought was really freaking weird. And you know what I'm going to reference. It was the whole suicide thing at the end, which grossly inappropriate for a movie that I think was supposed to be targeting young moviegoers.
Yeah.
But now that we've spoiled it, I might as well just explain it. They imply in the movie that Kevin Spacey's son, who's played by which
Robbie ML?
One of the MLs?
Robbie ML.
That he loses the company, and he's so upset that the movie implies that he is then going to kill himself by stop laughing, it's suicide, that he is going to jump off the building that his father built, which is like his father's obsession, so it's a big centerpiece in the movie, and it's implying that he's going to kill himself at the end of a PG
it's not
cat
subtle.
Movie.
And then
doesn't turn out to be his plan, but that doesn't really matter because they've already planted that scene in your head.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. It's like, because if you want your kid to turn to you and be like, Mommy, but wouldn't he die if he jumped off a building? Be like, well, yes.
Well, what saves him, if we're talking spoilers, is that he looks over and sees the cat.
He has a parachute. It was like a publicity stunt. It's not that he saw the cat and then changed his mind halfway
but that's
down.
Like, okay, sorry. I meant what saves Kevin Spacey is that he's decided to jump off a building.
And she's still drunk.
She's drunk on line that. Makes me feel like I'm drunk. Did you blame me?
Oh, boy. Oh, my God.
Let's wrap.
One more serious comment. A part where I think that Nine Lives did the whole human in a cat body thing better than other moments was I liked it when the cat was just the real cat. I always thought it was like stupid silly when they would make it like do backflips and CG
when it was
or
clearly
something.
A CG cat, yeah.
And it's like half and half. So there actually is some decent cat acting here where it's really cute and natural.
Acting?
And for cat, well, oh boy, oh boy. I'm going to start calling it that now. But as a cat owner, when you see this live cat doing something that you have seen your cat do, and it looks real and natural, just like your own cat, it's really cute. When you see a cat doing flips in the air, CG style, it's stupid.
Yeah. I like that your conclusion
the stupid
is
thing in a Kevin cat Spacey movie is cat movies.
Authentically cat enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At times.
I kind of feel like, okay. So I feel like we're just talking about with Pete's Dragon how one of the reasons people seem to like it so much is because it reminds them of their childhood. But I guess I watched dumber movies in my childhood because this reminds me of the shit that I would watch as a kid and like and then rewatch as an adult and be like, oh my god, this is garbage.
Yeah.
You know what? I like Nine Lives. I'm going to recommend seeing it if you have a pet.
It's going to be like some people's Short Circuit, where I watched Short Circuit so many times as a kid and thought it was the best, and then I got up and watched it, and I was like, oh, this movie is real weird. Actually, Short Circuit 2 was my jam. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to try to shine it on. Like, I watched the better Short Circuit. It was Short Circuit 2 where they go to New York.
Oh, boy.
And there's a fake Indian man. Oh, it's not good.
Okay, before we go even further off the rails yet again, do you two recommend Nine Lives? And if so, to who?
I feel like, honestly, like, you know if this is a movie you want to watch, okay? Like, I saw the trailer and was just like, oh my god, I have to get drunk and watch this with my friends, and I did, and I had a blast. But I mean, genuinely, if you saw this and was just like, this is the death of cinema, like, you're not going to enjoy it. Just, you already know if you want to watch this movie.
Imagine the pull quotes from this episode, like, them trying to put us on a poster, be like, I mean, if you get hammered, it's pretty good. Popcorn and Prosecco.
Hey, I was sober and I had fun. I still think that's the perfect assessment. If you have seen the publicity for this and you're like, oh, that kind of looks like fun. I love cats. I want to see that movie about cats. You should probably check it out because it's silly fun. If you looked at that stuff and were like, hell no, this is dumb. No, there you go. It's that simple. You don't have to get drunk. You might want to get drunk. It's up to you.
I recommend it.
Okay. Just in case.
Just in case. All right, that seems like a fair way to do it.
We might have to do like we did with Jupiter Ascending and Winter's Tale. We might have to watch this when it comes out on DVD again.
I love that idea. Yes. I wonder what the bonus features will be.
Oh my god, Angie's face literally got so excited right now.
Oh, this is a moment when I still wish we were doing video. Oh, Angie. All right. Are we okay? Are we ready to move into the outro? Let's just not, because I don't think Angie can speak at this point. All right, that is a wrap on episode 127 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You guys know where to find us on iTunes, where you can subscribe, rate, and comment. We have our website, popcornprosecco.com. Please like us on Facebook. We are on Twitter as well, at Popcorn Prosecco. And then the three of us are all over the internet too. Christine, you want to take it first?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Christy Puchko. That's KRISTYPUCHKO. And I write all over the web. You can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com. And check this week. I had a really great interview with Diane Kruger on IndieWire.
And Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN. And I write for slashfilm.com. And if you want to reach out to Twitter to me on Twitter and tell me how much you love Nine Lives, I would love that.
And you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at PNemiroff. I'm on the Collider Videos YouTube channel, and I write for Collider.com. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Meow. I knew it. I just knew it. I thought about doing it myself, and if I didn't do it, I knew you were going to do it.
This episode's a train wreck.
I use newspaper in the poopy boxes, and I see your face all the time.